Good morning, everyone. 4,000 years ago, God sent the plagues on the Egyptians. He mocked their gods and he freed his people from captivity. The Israelites were being led out of the land of Egypt. Israel had witnessed the power and the might of God through the plagues and the wonders that he had performed. He had let them plunder the Egyptians of gold and silver and possessions, and he was leading them to freedom. If you turn with me, please, to Exodus. Exodus 13. It's a scripture that we read a lot at this time of year. Exodus 13, and just starting in verse 7. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And dropping down to verse 21 in Exodus 13. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as they go by day and night. And just carrying on the story in chapter 14 verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal-Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered in the land, and the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honour over Pharaoh and over all of his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now it was told to the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this? Why have we let Israel go from serving us? And then you carry on reading the story down. Pharaoh took 600 of his choice chariots, with all of the other chariots and the captains over every one of them. And the Egyptians pursued them. And in verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you've taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you so dealt with us, to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Keep a marker in there, because we'll come back to finish that story off. But in the time available to me, I just want to look at how we should trust the Eternal, our God, to deliver us as he did the Israelites as he led them out of Egypt. When we are in a trial, we have two ways in which to go. We can either trust in the Eternal, taking from the tree of life, or we can trust in ourselves, in the knowledge of good and evil. The Israelites so quickly had forgotten the power of God, the power of the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and how he had crushed the gods of Egypt in the plagues. They were looking at the situation they found themselves in an unconverted human standpoint. And realistically, would we have been any difference in an unconverted mind? They were trapped. There was no way forwards, no way to the left, nowhere to the right. And there was a very angry army following them. So before we continue this story, let's look at somebody else who found themselves in a similar situation, but reacted slightly differently. Turn, please, to 1 Samuel 13. King Saul found himself in a very similar situation. 1 Samuel 13, starting in verse 5. Then the Philistines gathered to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand on which the seashore in the multitude. And they came up and encamped at Michmash, the east of Beth Avon. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed. Then the people hid in caves and thickets, in rocks, in holes and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over to Jordan, to the land of Gad and Gilgad, for Saul As for Saul, he was in Gilgal, and all people followed him, trembling. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me." And he offered the burnt offering. King Saul found himself in a similar situation to that of Moses and the people of Israel. There was a huge army coming upon them. He knew that an offering had to be made. He had waited the 7 days that Samuel had instructed, but Samuel had not arrived. So Saul did what he thought was best. He took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he was not allowed to perform that offering. That was Samuel's role to perform it. Just carrying on in verse 10. Now it happened as soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, 'The Philistines will now come down upon me at Gilgal, and I will have not made supplication to the Lord.' Therefore I felt compelled to offer a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God, for which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom of Israel forever." You notice, as soon as Saul had performed the offering, Samuel had arrived. He arrived within the designated period that was set, but Saul jumped the gun. We are in this end time, and every member of the church, it seems, is going through trials, being bounced from pillar to post, and it's prophesied to get even harder. There are wars and rumours of wars. Europe is coming together. The Catholic Church is going through unprecedented situations. The financial collapse is one step closer. The banks in Cyprus were closed for days on end, no one being able to get their money out. How soon will it be before we are all in a similar circumstance and it affects us, when we are unable to buy food to put on the table? But as it says in Matthew 6, "Do not worry about what we shall eat and what we shall drink or what we shall wear. First seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things." God sometimes takes our trials right to the wire. But he has promised in 1 Corinthians 10, "God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. With the temptations he will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." And it always amazes us just how God does provide for us, how he does resolve the situations and the trials that we find ourselves in if we trust in him. So let's go back to the original story where we started reading this morning, Exodus 14, and we will carry on in verse 13. Moses approaches this in a different mind frame to that of Saul. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever." In verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea.'" Dropping down to verse 19. "And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them in the pillar of cloud and stood before them and stood behind them." So God's protecting them from the Egyptians, who are right behind them with a pillar of fire, while he is also drying out the sea to make a way for them to walk on dry land. And in verse 27, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth." So they've come through, the Egyptians have followed them, and the seas have now closed. Would anyone have actually thought that that would be the way out for them? "While the Egyptians were still fleeing into it, so the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea." And just dropping down, finishing off the story in Exodus 15 in verse 13. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants. Dropping down to verse 16. Fear and dread will fall on them. By the greatness of your arm, they will be as still as a stone, till your people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. Verse 17, you will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, for which you have made, for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. God resolves the trials that we find ourselves in ways that humanly we would not think of. Like I say, we have two choices when we come to trials and situations. We can do as King Saul and break down at the last minute and do what we think is right, or we can hold on. As Mr. Armstrong always said, take God at his word. God has made promises for those who love him and keep his commandments, so let us trust in him. And just to underline that promise, turn please to Psalms 91. It's often said, something is said once so that we will read it, twice to reiterate it, three times to really bring it home. But how many times through the Bible can you actually find this sort of promise? Psalm 91, starting in verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noontime. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. 4,000 years ago, God freed his people from Egypt. He crushed the Egyptians. He led his people through the wilderness, not to let them die, because there were no graves in Egypt, but to take them to the promised land by a route which, humanly speaking, was not the sensible one to go through. Let us not be as the Israelites, looking with human eyes, but as Moses did, relying on God. God is leading us through this end-time wilderness we find ourselves in. Let us not lean to our own understandings and the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, but take the knowledge of the tree of life and trust and rely on God to deliver us as he sees fit. Just as he was faithful to the promise he made to Abraham in delivering his children from Egypt.